Here's the bad news. Lies are everywhere.
Oh, we are faced with so many lies.
And lies can enter our hearts through any number of ways.
Some of the lies that I have struggled with
about myself, my own identity, my own worth,
are lies like, I need to be perfect.
That I must succeed.
I wasn't pretty enough.
I need to do it all.
That I can't fail or appear to not be competent.
Or that the lie that God needs me.
Oh, I believed all kinds of lies.
They are more powerful, more evil, and more destructive than we can imagine. And we are all deeply affected by lies.
Satan's always telling us lies about the nature and character of God.
I believed that God wasn't good. I believed that God existed, but I always believed that he was just some guy in the sky who didn't really care about anybody.
Not believing that God is big enough, not believing that he's really interested in me, not believing that he's going to get me through to the other side.
Our postmodern world says there is no such thing as absolute truth. Truth, in quotes, is subjective. It's relative. It changes from one generation to the next. We have your truth and we have my truth. You can determine your own truth. In fact, you'll be better off if you do.
I know there is a time that I really struggled with God as my authority.
My life was my own, that I had the freedom to do whatever I wanted.
The lie that I shouldn't live with unfulfilled longings.
How I thought my marriage should be wasn't what it was. So I was gonna go find it somewhere else.
I think I thought that this relationship, yeah, it's sexually immoral, yeah, it's wrong, but it feels good to me, so it must be good.
You see, it's easier than we think for deception to get a toehold in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, and in the lives of those we love.
I would say that the lies I was believing about children is that they were a weight to me.
You know, the world looks at motherhood and being a wife and seeing that you're sacrificing your time and your life for your children, for your husband, and they see that as something that's a waste of time.
You know, one of the lies that I believe is that I'm not productive as a mom.
Out in the world, it's like, you know, follow your heart, follow your dreams.
That was definitely a lie.
But now for the good news. Here it is. The truth is more powerful than lies. It is more pure and more beautiful than you can imagine, and it will set you free.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamu, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free, for October 5th, 2018. Last week in Indianapolis, Revive Our Hearts hosted the True Woman 18 Conference. It was an opportunity for the thousands gathered in Indy and across the world via the live stream to focus on the truth that sets us free. Today on Revive Our Hearts, we'll hear highlights from the conference and hear what God did in the lives of many of the women there.
Gomez, bienvenidas a True Woman 18, el décimo aniversario.
You know, even leading up to the conference, we heard a lot from people who'd been to many of the conferences, many of them to the first one 10 years ago. So I think there was a lot of excitement built up from people who were looking forward to celebrating the 10th anniversary and whose lives had been deeply impacted.
I was at the first one in 08. 10 years younger, had just had baby number one, and I didn't have a concept of a lot of what we talk about. I didn't have a concept of biblical womanhood, of motherhood as my mission, as my marriage as a picture of the gospel. I loved Jesus, and I loved his word, and I loved his church, and that was enough to get me here. And so I think the legacy on my own family is going to be significant. Just spoke to a woman who came to the first True Women Conference in 08. Ready to divorce her husband, and didn't. You know, the Lord arrested her at that conference, and she's back again.
So on the opening night, we did some reflection, some retrospective of Oh, the 10 years of history and how God has moved.
I'm thinking back to a night in this room when there was a thunderstorm outside that was so loud it was deafening. Do some of you remember this?
Yes.
And Priscilla Shire was up here speaking and...
Out shout of the night was when we had the women from McPherson Women's Prison in Arkansas who were praying, had been praying for 30 days for us leading up to the event. But they had prayed for every woman who was coming to this conference. They had written prayers on little construction chain links and 12,000 of them or something like that. And here's a remnant of that. We spread it all the way around the auditorium because they had been praying, and these are prayers they had written.
I just want to say I could not have imagined on that opening night at True Woman 08 back in Schaumburg, Illinois, that we'd be sitting here 10 years later with these thousands of women from 33 different countries here on site in Indy, and thousands more, 100 countries or more represented on the live stream, celebrating what God has done, but also women hungry for the word, women eager and responsive. And I heard so many of them express that as I had chance to connect with them during the course of the conference.
My name's Julie McGregor. I'm from New Zealand, and I currently live and have lived for 7 years in Cambodia. I feel that this conference is unlike any other that I've ever experienced, and even watching it online up until this point, live streams in past years, there's no hype. It truly is about Christ and His Word and the power of His Word in us.
The rib that the Lord God had taken from man, He made into a woman. If you pay attention to the language, taken out of man, made into woman, you get a sense of the distinction being made here. That these are two different people, made two different ways. He is not her and she is not him. And why does that matter? It matters because if God made man and woman, then gender is also God's idea. And if it is God's idea, then it's a good one.
And I just love the realness of the people that God is using to share with us.
God has created us for real community and real intimacy and real friendship and real love, and we really can have it.
I loved listening to Jackie Hill Perry's messages. My name is Mary Cassian, and I am from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And what I loved the most about Jackie's messages was that she is a pursuer of truth, and she is a pursuer of God, that she sees that a love for God is bigger and better than a love for other things.
If God could create something as good as sex, then how much greater is He than it? There is nothing on earth that is better than God, meaning that sex is a good gift, but it is not a better gift than the living God. And if it is not a better gift than the living God, then we shouldn't have to reject Him to satisfy the body in ways that He has not ordained.
And that's what's really helped her in her life, put her affections in the right order. And it was fascinating to hear her say that even though she may struggle with same-sex attraction, if her affections are in order, if she's loving Jesus above all else, it takes care of that. And when we love Jesus above all else, then we're willing to do what He says, and we're willing to cling to truth and do things His way.
She said something that rocked me again. She said, for her and her children, and I just applied it to myself, I am the first Titus 2 that my daughter Miriam will ever see.
And be able to raise up other women who would be able to believe that they are who God says that they are.
And that was just, wow. Jennifer Dunn, or Jenny, I'm from Martinsburg, West Virginia. Hearing Jackie and a poem that she recited, I think that was the first evening.
A young lady brown as the melanin in my daughter's eyes said behind a mic that she hated being a woman. She wanted to know what it meant to be one.
I need to go back and listen to that or read that again just to get it all. It was powerful.
Beautiful is the spine that remembers where it came from.
that lets his knowing of self not be determined by every wind of doctrine and dust, but God himself. We must unlearn the deep misunderstandings.
I do believe that teaching the scriptures is an art. I feel like communication matters.
Eve did not attain life by finding beauty in lies, but only a naked body and a husband that forgot her first name. We women must be smarter, must be wiser, must be bent on loving truth, no matter how contradicting it is to a dying culture. I tell you, a woman is no fool unless she chooses to be.
I think I've learned that communication lifts up and allows people to hear the truth, take in the truth in a way that they might not have heard it if it was said another way.
Anything that defines our being, that does not shimmer and sing of Christ and his wisdom, is a definition destined for flames. If you asked me, what is a woman? I would simply tell you, ask the God who made her.
So every day, it felt like I was trying to reach the finish line while maintaining all my balls in the air. And I kept asking myself, how did I get here?
I loved the question that Betsy asked.
Take a second and think of the many distractions that are filling your days, causing you stress and anxiety. What are those distractions for you? Are there any changes you need to make in order to make Jesus and his word a priority?
And that's a great question, because I think we get distracted. What is it in my life that's distracting me and that I'm putting in that place of hunger for God?
Sisters, taste and see that the Word of God is satisfying. The Word of God will align your affections with the truth, just like it was in the beginning. His Word will bring order to your chaos, and it will put everything in place.
My highlight was seeing Betsy in the platform.
We need her youth and her freshness and her happiness. Laura used to call her the sunshine of ANC.
My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I am from the Dominican Republic.
My name is Patricia de Saladin, and I'm from Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
Seeing Betsy there, thinking this was the 10th anniversary of True Woman, and seeing her as a fruit of the ministry.
And to see her mature as a young woman now, not only being a mother, being a wife, being a pastor's wife.
And she just embraced the message, and it started, she started to give fruit in her life. And now seeing her there teaching, it's just like seeing the fruit of this ministry. And not only that, but which is my prayer always for ANC, that the movement not only grows horizontally and reaches a lot of people around the world, but also that it changes people's lives and that it grows deep in their hearts. Betsy represents that.
It's a joy to see the fruit of the ministry. It's like full circle, going full circle in one person.
I had this sweet sense of the Lord is helping us be in this process of not only reaching younger women, but passing the mantle of this ministry in these next years over to some younger women who are going to do so well with it. I'm really proud of those women.
Because we only surrender to what we treasure. And that is the secret to a balanced life, to make Jesus and his word the object of her love.
Dana Grush did a fabulous message on telling ourselves the truth and then letting the truth determine how we feel and how we think.
What if what we put in us to control our emotions was not coffee or pills or chocolate or food or carbs or drugs or alcohol? But what if what we put in us to control our emotions was truth?
To take all those thoughts captive back to the Word. It's back to the Word, back to the Word. And I love that, how it was so stressed.
Whatever you are thinking about is going to be how you feel. Your thoughts are the boss of your feelings.
And I noticed that phrase got tweeted out there a lot because it caught a lot of our attention, that we don't have to let how we feel govern us. We can have the truth govern our feelings and then let our feelings be in response to the truth.
If I feel something is true,
I think is something that a lot of women have believed, that because we're emotional beings and we feel emotions so strongly, sometimes it gets muddled with the truth. So there have been many times that I have felt something about myself or about God or about other people that has been very untrue.
Why would the world want what we have unless they see it working for us? Why would they? This is a gospel imperative that we put in ourselves the truth so that we can put on us these emotions that God intends for us to be governed by and to enjoy and to experience.
My name is Carol and I'm from Dublin, Ireland.
We had a European delegation here, about 40 women or so from all sorts of European countries. I think France, Switzerland, Germany, and that is gathering steam. It reminds me of what happened in the Dominican Republic. So I had a chance to meet up with the European delegation, and they were just telling me about just the need for a movement in Europe.
So coming here, it's been a little bit overwhelming to see so many women in one room who love Jesus in the way that they do. I don't even know if there's this many women in Ireland who know Jesus.
They are praying that what God is birthing in, or has birthed in the Dominican and to the Hispanic community, and is now starting to rumble across the world and into Africa now, South Africa, that the same sort of movement will spring up and broaden in Germany and throughout Europe.
I will say this, I was so grateful in many cases for how people in the area of Indianapolis and people on our team reached out and were hospitable and received these people coming from around the world to help provide housing and meals and to help make it possible.
The hospitality of the church that we've been connected with and wider Christian community has been really humbling to see their love for complete strangers, knowing that the only connection we have is Jesus. They organized houses for us to stay in, they organized food for us, all because of their love for Christ.
It's just interesting that in the time frame when this conference was being held, that there was a swirl, there is a swirl, in the culture around us, particularly here in the United States, of women dealing with sexual abuse issues, with assault.
It was difficult addressing the question of sexual abuse because we knew that we were going to open a lot of wounds. However, there is healing in Christ. And healing comes through truth.
It's something that happens to the psyche of a person when a person in a position of power that you believe is supposed to keep you safe harms you in that way. Yes. It shapes how you see everything. Mm. It colors how you see everything. And so I think the ramifications are huge.
Some of the biggest issues with victims of sexual abuse is keeping it in the dark. Is not wanting to talk about it. But when it's hidden and kept in the dark, it has such power over you.
Sure.
And when you bring it out into the light, and God wants to heal you of the shame of it, because some women feel so shameful. Some women feel it was my fault or I did something that provoked this. But
those are lies.
Those are lies. Those are lies, and it's and Satan wants to keep you in bondage through those lies, through guilt, through shame, telling you to keep it in the darkness. So if that is you, what you need to do, the first step, is to bring it out into the light and tell someone.
Yeah.
We were really excited to have Bob Lapine share from the perspective of a man, a good man who has that protective spirit towards his wife, towards his children, a man who walks with God, how that kind of man would be impacted by a woman's pain who had been sexually abused.
I believe Jesus is deeply sorry for your pain as well. It's true he could have stopped it and he didn't, and I can't tell you why he didn't. No one can, but I can tell you he gave his life to fix it.
Yeah.
He died so that the wrongs of this life will be made right, so that your tears will one day be dried and your darkness will be over forever.
I think a lot of women, they had not heard a tender-hearted, wise, godly man express that kind of Christ-like compassion.
On behalf of Christian men, I am so sorry. For how any man did to you the evil that was done to you. And that was wrong. And my heart breaks that God's daughters had that kind of evil perpetrated on them, and that your soul has that scar on it.
So we have to identify the problem as sin, and we can't identify the problem as men. And it's the problem is sin. We need to deal with sin. And we certainly need to have all of the legal and protective aspects. And we need to have the authorities involved when it is when such a sin takes place. However, the problem is sin.
And at the end of that session, we had an opportunity for women to come and express to the Lord their concerns, their fears, their anxiety, and to give these things over to Him, sometimes to forgive, sometimes to repent or seek forgiveness.
And if you were close, I don't know if you were close, but they were weeping.
So I invited others to come and pray with them.
They were crying, and they had friends with them and people with them hugging and praying over them. Now, that image will probably stay with me for a long time because I was imagining that when it comes to sexual abuse and sexual trauma and sexual sin, what people have done to us and what we have done to ourselves, there's a level of shame that many people walk in and never really have the freedom or the time or the space or the opportunity to be just to let it out.
I prayed with a woman who was 64 years old, and she shared with me that she had been married for over 40 years, and she had been sexually abused as a teenager. And that sexual abuse had haunted her for the past 50 years, where she had, even in marriage, and even though she had married a man who was gentle and kind, and who loved her dearly, and who had been faithful and loved her faithfully her whole life, she asked me to pray for her because she said, even in that circumstance, there was this protectiveness that she had wrapped her heart up in. She could not get past because she believed the lie that he was still going to hurt her somehow. And that lie that she had bought into at the time of her abuse, that God had still not healed her of that. So she prayed that she would be able to let go of that and to trust and to open up, even at the age of 64, into a deeper relationship of intimacy with her husband.
We're just tired of holding it in. And so that was powerful to me, that God was able to meet people in such a real way.
The truth really does set you free.
I actually would describe this whole conference as a truth moment.
You know, all of the skirmishes are still happening around us, culturally, in our own lives. But we're saying, you know what? We believe there is such thing as truth. And we believe that truth is the Word of God. That's what Jesus prayed for us. In John 17:17, he said, sanctify them in truth, your word is truth. And I know he was looking forward to this moment. He was looking forward to all the moments. But he was looking forward to this moment and the reminder that we need to know that there is truth and the Bible is truth.
Nancy said this last night, God's truth is not just good, but it's beautiful. I've watched that flesh out in my life. The truth that set me free was that it was good and right that I would be made a mom and a wife when I didn't know what to do, but God's word clearly said it and it didn't make any sense. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that. His blessing over my family is overwhelming to me.
The power of the truth.
And this world, like, I'm never gonna have everything I want the way I want it. And that it's okay to live with those unfulfilled longings because God is all that we need and He's more than enough to fill our deepest longings.
The beauty of the truth.
His plan for me is still good, regardless of the outcome.
The truth can change our lives.
It's that, again, that flag in the sand that we're like, oh yeah, I have a source of truth. I have something I can look to, and it's the Word of God. So it's the perfect theme, and I think we could do it 2 years from now, and 2 years after that, and 2 years after that, and 2 years after that, and it would still have a significant impact.
We've been hearing highlights from the True Woman 18 Conference, discovering how God used this gathering to set women free through the truth of His Word. In the coming days, you'll be able to watch online videos from that conference. Keep checking reviveourhearts.com as those get posted. And to learn more about the truth that sets us free, get a copy of Nancy's book, Lies Women Believe. The messages at True Woman 18 were inspired by this book that brought hope to women everywhere. Over 1 million copies have been sold. We'll send you a copy when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. Just visit reviveourhearts.com, provide your support, and request the book. Or call 1-800-569-5959 and ask for Lies Women Believe. That's 1-800-569-5959. True Woman 18 marked the 10-year anniversary of True Woman conferences. On Monday, we'll look back at what God did to birth a True Woman movement in Latin America 10 years ago. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth wants to help you live according to the truth. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.